This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Luther Burton to Turd.
6'2", 206, around a 4'4", 140.
Not at his pro day.
What was his pro day time?
He didn't run at his pro day, I don't believe, because he didn't feel like he needed to. Even though his quarterback needed some help, he decided he wasn't going to participate. A lot of people are talking about that. That's why guys are dropping. If he doesn't get the ball when he believes he should, becomes unfocused.
Okay.
Explosive with the ball in his hands. You get a lot of usage out of him. At times, they seem to force the ball to him. Here's the criticism right now.
Okay.
Against bigger and physical teams, didn't answer the bell with the same energy.
When we look at all this, Steven, obviously these guys are moldable, right? This is a work in progress. You say that all the time.
You hope some are.
Yes, you hope you are. And obviously the more moldable a player is, the more coachable he is, the more you want him in your room.
Yes, sir.
If you're the position coach specifically, certain traits are correctable. Certain traits are correctable by the individual.
Correct.
Because it's a lot of want to.
Really awesome 89 show pod that you should check out on YouTube with our next guest and Steve Smith Sr. We talked about it as a show after checking it out, and we were like, you know what? This is a perspective that we need to get on the air so people know what it is that has been said and how Luther Burton got here and maybe even ended up being someone that the Bears could draft. James Palmer does an incredible job for Underdog Sports and Bleacher Report. The 89 show is fantastic. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. James, thanks for joining us. I thought that you guys' breakdown of Burton, it was really developed because you guys went 20 minutes talking about him and breaking him down. As a prospect, what's the background here? What are important things that you think Chicago fans need to know?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. And we went 20 minutes. I think we went that length on a lot of these prospects. It's been a deep dive specifically on these receivers, so check them out. And Luther's was an interesting one for sure, because one of my favorite things about doing the show with Steve, who's one of my best friends, is he comes with his intel, I come with my intel, and we don't discuss it till the show starts. And as you can see, as you guys said, you watched it, like, a lot of carryover, right, between what I heard and what he heard. And I always find that to be really interesting from what he's seeing in film, what he's hearing from people around the league, what I'm hearing people around the league. The consensus really was this. There's definitely some question marks. And where he lands is going to be interesting, and how that team handles those question marks. Universally, everyone I talk to, from receiver coaches to pro personnel guys to assistant GMs, offensive coordinators, The guy can go. You put the ball in his hands, he puts his foot in the ground, he can make people miss. He is electric. It's a different player when he's running the route than when the ball gets in his hand. And I found that to be kind of an interesting, almost universal thing that was brought up. And is that correctable? Like, that's one of those things. Is some of the character questions that some people had around the league about him, are those correctable? Was that part of his situation? Was that part of his situation with the coaching staff? How he was used? Is that what he can run? Or is that what the coaching staff could use? All of these things were really, guys, a lot of questions that teams were trying to figure out and working really hard to figure those out because the talent is there.
So James Palmer, yeah, that was a great breakdown. And Lauren sent it into the group chat and he's like, listen to Steve Smith. But I went back and I listened to you because, you know, yeah, you're the stuff that got me, man, for whatever. Steve is like, you know, whatever, he's an NFL wide receiver. But here's the thing. I'm not an NFL wide receiver, and you're not, but you've clearly dug into the news part of it, and that part was especially fascinating. So with that in mind, they know this, right? Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles know all of this, and we've listened very carefully to what Ben has said. They must have the belief that Ben and Antoine Randall L. are up to the task of coaching this guy the right way.
Yeah, I think there's, and I'm not sure if this is the episode I said it in or not. It might have been in one we were doing on Travis Hunter, honestly. And breaking news, all position coaches are not created equal, guys, in the NFL. I was actually at the CU showcase up in Boulder talking to an NFC wide receiver coach who was like, I'd say there's 7 good wide receiver coaches in the league. And we were talking about this with Travis Hunter because position coaches have to be, in certain instances, much more in depth than just going, you know, no, on this, you got to run a post. No, on this, it's a curl. There's a lot of intricacies that go into your position coach. And if you have a really good one, and I think Luther would benefit from having a really good one, which I think he does in Chicago, those are the teams that usually have more confidence when picking players that have some of the questions that I brought up, right? If you're curious about a player where it goes, all right, this is one of the biggest recruits Missouri's had in recent memory. He, because of that, was maybe granted some liberties on campus. He was kind of able to do whatever he wanted to do on campus in some people's minds. Is that something that when a change of scenery happens and that position coach and that offensive coordinator and that organization bring that together and that's no longer an issue? Those are what good staffs have the ability to evaluate and have the ability to correct. I think that's why at the beginning of the process, and that's why these are all pieces of the process, he was considered right up there with Matthew Golden and Tech McMillan. And then as the process was going on, I'm hearing from more teams going like, no, he's a second round pick because we have these things that need to be answered. Now we'll find out if, right, Ben Johnson is running an organization and a coaching staff to where these things can be corrected. Because, you know, I always say these guys are works in progress because they're just starting their NFL journey. The talent is exceptional, especially with the ball in his hands. So what did they see that was correctable, I think, is going to be paying off big time, or it's going to be rearing its head pretty early, actually.
I'm guessing that Antoine Randall L. is one of those 7 good wide receiver coaches because of the way the Lions receivers played, and then also because Ben Johnson gives him a promotion to assistant head coach so we could bring him over from Detroit. Right, James?
Yeah. He's definitely in that group. It's funny because I asked him when he said, you know, some guys just talk, and I was like, all right, give me the 7. And I'm not going to tell you guys the 7 because I don't want to roast all the coaches across the league, but he was on that group. He was on that list. And I think that's really important when you have guys that have a ceiling like Luther has. And has the ability also, let's not just talk about Luther. Like, let's talk about Rome and what he needs to grow. We did a great breakdown evaluating his entire rookie season. I'm just here plugging the channel. And we did a great breakdown of Rome and what his rookie season was about and what could happen. So it's not just with Luther, but obviously that's the focal point here, because when you have a ceiling as high as his can be, what are the little intricacies that the guy who spends every day with you can fix and correct? Not only in terms of your game, which how do we get the route running to be as explosive as it is with the yards after the catch, but then the character questions that some teams have and a couple of things that need to be figured out very early. Well, the position coach is a huge, huge part of that because Ben Johnson, we all know, has a ton on his plate.
I love that you do the show with Steve Smith. He's always been one of my favorites. I was covering the playoff game where he went for 218 and two touchdowns against the Bears back in 2006, where he just turned the lights out on the Bears in that game. But I do know that there are people that get upset with what I think are honest breakdowns that he does. And he even mentioned that, like, hey, maybe he won't even want to talk to me after he hears this. I'd love to know, as much as you're willing to share, how many of the guys that maybe talk tough then get back to Steve and get better because of what he's trying to tell them on how to do their craft?
Yeah, it's more than you think, honestly. I put players in different categories. Like, a really good example is, I live here in Denver. Tim Patrick, who was with Ben Johnson up there in Detroit, and just a grinding type of receiver. He's a Utah guy. Steve's a Utah guy. I remember Tim telling me, like, Steve, I sent him my reel and plays, and he just ripped me to shreds. And I wrote him back, give me more. What else do you need? What else do you want to rip me apart about? Steve loves those type of guys, because that was Steve. Steve got destroyed in draft evaluations. He was evaluated as just a return man, if you remember, when he came into the league. Nobody thought he was going to be a receiver. Like, he met, I believe, during the draft process. We were having this conversation the other day. I think he only met one offensive coordinator during his draft process. Like, only physically spoke to one, because that's how he was viewed. So he loves when he knocks guys down and then they come right back at him, but also in a manner of which, okay, like, what else did you see? Like, that went on at the CU showcase. Him and I were standing right there next to Travis Hunter, and in between reps, Travis was coming over, and they were kind of like barking at each other. Like, they were going back and forth with each other. And then afterwards, Travis comes over, what'd you think? Like, what'd you think? Everybody asks for Steve's opinion. And I think that's the cool part. It's not just players, man. We had like four or five head coaches there going, Steve, why don't you coach, man? Come on. You evaluate the game. Why don't you coach? Steve goes, you know why I don't coach? Because I don't like to repeat myself. And I thought that was a pretty good response.
That is outstanding. Speaks also, you can put Steve Smith on the list of guys that I will sometimes get mistaken for. Like, if I put on a cap.
Oh, I can see that. I got 100%. Right?
And you flip,
that.
Do the flip up? The
yeah.
Flip,
I actually, up? Yeah. I have my Chance the Rapper White Sox cap is actually perfect for that. And then I could, and shout out that for a while, his son was playing soccer at DePaul. My alma mater.
Yeah. Steve Smith's was?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows that I get mistaken for James Palmer all the time.
All the time.
It happens
all the time.
Especially, I went as James for Halloween one year.
It's funny.
Oh, Layla, I dig that.
Layla Rahimi walked in here and said, you look just like a guy I used to work with, James Palmer. It's funny that she's
my girl.
Yeah. She's now our midday host here at The Score. She speaks super highly of you.
Oh, we go way back. Yeah, we go way back. I've known Layla since our days in Houston. My first time in the NFL, covering Texans on a daily basis down there many moons ago with Gary Kubiak and company, with a dynamite quarterback, nothing like Caleb Williams, Matt Schaub running the show.
Hey, James, what have people told you around the league about Ben Johnson?
Yeah, it's I'll start with one of the more interesting ones that's been given to me, and this has been said to me by a couple of guys who have taken over as a first-time head coach and then taken over play calling in that first year. And they were like, this isn't a slight to Ben. I think he's the best play caller in football. This offense coordinator was telling me. And he was like, but when I became a head coach and calling plays my first year, I was not nearly the play caller that I was when I was just focused on calling plays. There are so many more people coming into your room, whether it's the PR staff, whether it's the medical staff, whether it's business side of things, whether it's football operations, all this knocks on your door. To be able to handle all of it is a big undertaking. But I think Ben's process, he told me, is an advantage because he kind of has gone through it a couple of years. He's been preparing for it a couple of years. I don't think anything I'm saying right now, he probably hasn't heard or prepared for, right? Like, these little idiosyncrasies that happen with being a head coach that are not there when you're an offensive coordinator, a lot of guys are learning those on the job. Like, hiring your staff is one of the biggest things that you do, right? And the questions that most guys I've talked to that have had multiple cracks at being a head coach is, the questions I ask the second time around, guys, are so much different than the questions I asked the first time.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Just because I learned so much about what I'm looking for in assistance. My point of this is the length that Ben has taken in this process, I think, is an advantage for him. And the encouragement that he has had from others around him about preparing him for this, I think, helps him in some of these. Some of them you're never going to learn outside of just doing them on the job, right? They're just impossible to simulate. But I do think because of the way his process has gone and the way he's gone about it, prepares him a little bit better than some other first-year head coaches. But I think he's going to be outstanding. There's a reason why so many places wanted him, even when they didn't have a chance at him. I think the cultural change that we've seen there already, to me, the interior of the line moves in free agency. Joe Tooney is one of my favorite players in this league. You talk to anybody in Kansas City about the importance of those Super Bowl runs and what Joe Tooney played in those. I think him changing kind of the look of the way Chicago approaches things with those three moves on the interior line, even before the draft, kind of shows me what Ben's shooting for.
Your thoughts, James Palmer, echoes some of the reporting that we did on this show leading up to Ben Johnson's hiring and just after, when we were able to share with people that he took the extra year of being the number one head coaching candidate to really think about everything you're talking about, what his challenges would be as a first-year head coach who's also a play caller. And look what he's got. Dennis Allen, sure, somebody who can handle the defense. We know that's good. But Declan Doyle, there's an administrative component to what Declan Doyle is happily willing to do as an offensive coordinator that speaks to exactly what you're talking about. And I don't know how much it exists in this way in the NFL, that there's an OC who's going to do some of the grunt work like Declan Doyle is so willingly. It's really fascinating how Ben has made this happen.
Now I understand the Halloween costume. Like, now I get it. This is because we're all on the exact same page here.
One more thing before we let you go, James. How did you view the discussion around Shadur? Because you've been to Boulder. You talk to NFL people all the time. I felt like it missed a lot of nuance, but I'd love to know, someone who is in it every day, what you thought was important about it.
I think the process wasn't handled properly. And I think Shadur, to talking to people in Cleveland, handled his first media availability on that conference call with the Cleveland media exceptionally well, and almost admitted that, yes, we went about this the wrong way. And I've said this before, and I think a perfect example of, and it's apples and oranges, but compare what Jackson Dart did in the process to what Shadur did in the process. Let's go through Jackson Dart, right? He goes, and he was probably nowhere near Shadur at the end of the college football season in some teams' minds, and he goes to the Senior Bowl, and he absolutely crushes it and talks to everybody and competes his ass off. And then he goes to the Combine, and he throws, and he really competes at the Combine, which is important for a lot of teams, getting to see one quarterback throw, then the next quarterback, then the next quarterback, and you can see traits really well there. At his pro day, he was asking teams what they wanted to see him do. And to me, going through all of those things, that Shadur really didn't do any of them. And in all honesty, the showcase was a bit of like a ha-ha, laugh-laugh while we're going through the workout, which is a bit strange. Like, Shiloh's out there like telling jokes while he's going through his throwing process, which is like, this is a job interview. And the way some of the interviews went, and the way teams told me the way some of the interviews went, and the way he tried to dictate things, you can only dictate things when you're at the top of the draft. So I look at the way the two players handled it, and I think their spot in the draft kind of equates to how it was handled. But also, we're seeing college players have a lot more power. So this is another part of the process we're going through when these guys are driving Bentleys like Shadur to practice. So you can only dictate things if you're in the 1% of the 1% of the draft. We watched it with Marvin Harrison Jr. a year ago, who actually asked teams, do you need me to work out? They all said no. But then Abdul Carter took very few interviews. You can only handle the draft in the manner in which Shadur handled it if your talent allows you to do that.
Yeah,
and I think we saw that his talent did not allow him to handle it that way.
Everything that people were afraid Caleb Williams was going to do last year and treat these interviews this way, apparently that's what Shadur did. Diana Russini came out today and said that one executive told her that Shadur approached his visits with teams as a recruiting trip instead of as a job interview. That's going to turn some people off right there.
It really is. And let's just not get it twisted here. Like, Shadur's talent set is nowhere near Caleb Williams' talent set. So when you look at traits, He doesn't have any wow traits. Is he really, really tough? For sure. Is he accurate? Definitely. Are there athletic ability that can let you run around like, you know, like we've seen Caleb do actually? No, it doesn't exist. And that's part of his game. And when you have elite athletes running you down, that's not really obviously going to translate. So his strengths didn't translate that well. And then when you go about a process to where there's not that many suitors, there really weren't that many suitors for you, and you turn a couple of them off early, I think it showed that he did understand, because his tone towards the end with his meetings, I was told, was very different than his tone in the beginning of the process. So what does that show us? That he was kind of figuring out, okay, I don't think we went about this the right way entirely. I'm excited, guys, to see him show up in Cleveland, because he probably landed in the best possible place he could. He's going to get a chance to compete. And what type of competitor are we going to see show up? Because he's never been coached by anybody outside of his dad after the age of like 14. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but I think we all want to see if he does, because I think we want to be proven a little bit wrong in this process, that he's going to go out there and in battle. And we're going to get a chance to see it because of the situation he's in.
James, thanks so much for your time. You need to check out the 89 Show on YouTube. All the stuff that you guys are doing with Underdog is incredible. Let's visit again soon, man. This was outstanding.
I don't come on Chicago enough. I don't like this. You know, both my parents are natives, you know, Arlington Heights, Roselle. I grew up going back home, and guys, have me back.
All right,
I like the Chicago. Done deal.
We'll have you back on. I mean, you'll be our Arlington Heights correspondent for when the team moves there.
When the team moves there.
Or the Roselle correspondent for when the team moves there. You don't know, Lawrence.
You never know. Done. All of those
Roselle
things.
Fire department. Let's go.
Yeah. Shout out to the Roselle Fire Department.
Just another day.
My grandfather was chief, you know, no big deal.
Get out of here.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we talk a lot of Roselle Fire Department on this station.
I know. That's why I threw it in there, just so you guys could transition to your next guest or topic very easily.
Thank you very much.
It works out great because, you know, we know that the Roselle Fire Department softball team is strong. You know, they always beat the police. So, you know, like it's a thing. It's a thing out here for sure. James, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Guys, take it easy.
Thanks, James.
That's James Palmer of Underdog. And you should check out the 89 Show on YouTube. Seriously, the entire episode about Luther Burden III is phenomenal.
You know, that's a dude who's plugged in and gives a crap. There's a difference. Like when you're plugged in and you're like, okay, whatever, I'm all right. Like this just here to plug the channel and do my thing. No, he actually likes to check in with and get knowledge from the people he talks to.
Someone in the chat said, I'm in Roselle right now.
go over to the fire department and ask if they knew James Palmer's grandfather.
It's really interesting that independently, the stuff that James's people said to him about Shador tracks with what people told me about Shador. And I think that the point that you raised and we talked about a little bit yesterday is Caleb could get away with that stuff. And he didn't.
He didn't do it.
He went into those meetings and was like, watch this. Ta-da!
Yeah, I mean, maybe, like, we didn't really hear about him treating the Bears like that or Washington like that or any of the places that he talked to. We heard Shador treated all these places like that.
Well, and we saw Caleb in Hard Knocks offseason in the meetings. We saw the pre-draft stuff where he was like,
and
just impressing people. So I think that the talent and the demeanor, I think, are different, but we are in a space now where there's a lot more power, and that's going to have to be contended with by front offices. We need to take a quick time out. By the way, Cubs pregame is at 5:05, so we are going to have some stuff. We haven't heard anything. Nico hasn't texted us and said there's a tornado, so they're going to play baseball. When we come back, we're going to talk about Kyle Tucker, though, and whether or not you can keep him here and what he did on Sunday. We'll share next on The Score.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions. Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog. We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to count you down, okay? In three, two, one.
So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice. Yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
What have you seen out of Kyle Tucker in his first season with the Cubs?
Well, he's been great so far. He's been a huge impact on our lineup. It's fun watching great players like that play every day.
Craig Counsell talking about Kyle Tucker pregame on Sunday. Craig Counsell will be on the show tomorrow at 2:30.
Yeah, man.
So we'll talk with him at 2:30. Tonight's Cub game begins their road trip in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. Pre-game coverage starts at 5:05. So look, the tarp has been put on the field in Cleveland, and Cleveland is right there with Pittsburgh.
I was texting with somebody over there with the ball club who said that they're expecting a little rain for sure, but they're thinking maybe a 7 Eastern start, so a 6 Eastern start, so maybe just a short delay.
Yeah, that's enough time for Zach to do all of his wacky bits and everything else that he might need to do in rain delay theater. Pat Hughes.
Very good, Zach. Thank you.
And Ron Coomer will be on the call first pitch 5:40, hopefully, on the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio
Zach
network.
Zach doing the aristocrats.
Wacky bits. And he juggles, he spins plates, all kinds of stuff. By the way, an episode of the PBP is out today with Ron Coomer. I'm super proud of the conversation. I want people to hear the conversation because it's the first time I've had an analyst on, and Coomer is a phenomenal partner to Pat and a partner to Zach when he does play-by-play.
100%.
And a partner to me when I've got a chance. And I've had so many conversations with Ron off the air about it that it was a thrill to do it on the record. And it's just really cool the way that Coomer thinks about supporting play-by-play. And there's a lot in there about that guy because, as we know, in his parlance, Ron Coomer is a 10. So find the PBP Voices of Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Me and Coomer came out today. Really, really good conversation.
Since we're promoting podcasts, I had Sarah Spain on House of L. And you should go to the House of L YouTube page and subscribe and watch the interview. It's great. She broke down the Bears. She talked about how the Cubs could re-sign Kyle Tucker. And we talked about her book that's getting ready to come out in June. And she also slapped my hand because I'm good friends with her husband. And she had done something cool, and I texted her husband instead of just texting her.
Oh, man, that ain't right.
She's like, that's the patriarchy for you. I'm like, yeah, actually, you're right.
Well, since we're promoting
Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsals, a really good show on HBO Max. It's just a good show, yeah.
Come on, man.
That's
we're
just
not
a quality
just
show.
Promoting random podcasts.
I mean, mine is a little bit random. But it's fine.
No, it's not. You host it.
I do.
That makes it not random. That gives it a relationship to this show.
I guess.
Yeah.
Now, Alex, you're still a columnist for InfoWars, correct?
We found that out earlier in the show today with his thoughts on Denver.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I love that all the people, whether it was in Twitch or the text lines,
they
are
all
like,
agree.
Yeah, man, yeah, something's going on out there at the Denver airport.
DIA, not right. There's something going on there.
And then I hit I went to the Google machine and typed in Denver airport conspiracy.
There's a lot.
Ooh, yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot going on.
Oh yeah.
There's some stuff.
Hours and hours of stuff for you there, Speaks.
And there's stuff that Speaks is very comfortable about asking guests about that has to do with the conspiracies that are happening at the Denver airport.
The Holocaust? I think it's just good conversation. That's what you're talking about.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Some kind of Nazi corollary?
Yep.
Interesting.
That's problematic for sure. What's not problematic?
Yeah.
Is Kyle Tucker and his hot start that he has been on with the Cubs. He's been fantastic, so much so that it might make you think that the Cubs should be in a position to throw a whole bunch of money in front of him and say, stay. Don't worry about going to market. Do your thing.
This little Tucker went to market, and we're hoping not. We're hoping not, theoretically, if they can offer enough money. But no, this is interesting, and we were texting about it the other night, listening to Kyle Tucker doing pregame. Is this with Buster Olney, I think, before the game?
Ravi.
It's Carl Ravage.
Him and Carl Ravage on the field, and there were like multiple parts to this interview, which were crazy, but this is him talking about his experience so far.
Free agent after this year. Do your agent, does your wife pay attention to deals that are being done that may relate to you?
I mean, in terms of any like player in general, I think you just at least acknowledge it and respect, you know, the deals that are out there and whatnot. But at the same time, everyone's a little bit different. And everyone has a little different situation when it comes with age, service time, just where they like to, you know, raise their family and everything like that. So
right.
For me, I just come out here and play regardless. Like, I don't try and let too much distract me and stuff like that.
Nico Horner, I said, so tell me, a superstar player like Kyle, explain what that means. He said, a lot of us come to the ballpark worried if we're going to have a good day. Are we going to hit? He says, you show up to the ballpark, his words, believing you're going to get a hit every time you step into that batter's box. Is that what we started this whole conversation about, confidence?
I mean, I don't want to show up to the ballpark just feeling like I'm not going to get a hit or not going to do well. Right. Then you're, you know, before you even got into the field, you're already probably down. So you don't try and worry about who you're playing or who's on the mound or anything like that. You just go up there and try and do your thing and have as much confidence as you can.
And lastly, you've been in great atmospheres. Houston had great success. Is it unique, this ballpark? I mean, can you feel it? You knew about it, but now you're wearing the uniform. You've had these comebacks in some of these. Can you feel the difference?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, even, you know, the first time this year, opening day for us at home was really special. And obviously now you can see the ivy's kind of turning green. Right. So I'm excited for that to, you know, fully grow in and everything. And, you know, it's starting to warm up now. So hopefully we can have a beautiful summer this year.
Thank you.
Cool.
Great. Thank you. And you smiled a lot.
You smiled a lot. All right, couple
maybe,
things.
Maybe Ravage was giving him a little bit of direction and be like, you got resting bitch face right now. Smile. I deal with that all the time.
Yeah, well, Kyle Tucker does have some of that. He's just super level. There's like, he just stays down in a really calm, kind of dead fish sort of place, demeanor-wise, which can actually work really well in baseball.
He's working. Like Nico said it, other players have said it. Like that guy and his approach, what did Nico say? That he always thinks that he's getting a hit every time.
Yeah, he comes to work thinking that. Which is why when he was, what, 0-22 in the spring, he didn't give a crap.
Yeah, I didn't care about that.
And he didn't care about that. Like some players do care about that. But you know, the folks in charge of Operation Hashtag Woo Kyle Tucker, or Woo King Tuck, maybe? What do you guys think? Although that would look like...
Woo King Tuck actually, I think, has a little bit more staying power and could draw better.
Okay.
Because people might also think that it's Wu-Tang.
Yeah, or like Woo King Tuck. Like it would,
or King Tut. You know, I think that that works better than right. Woo Kyle Tucker.
So Operation Woo King
to
Tuck.
Wrigley Field.
We need to
forever.
Work on a couple things. He's thinking about raising a family here, so we need to send him some brochures of like good, you know, childcare facilities, good preschools in the Wrigley area. And I couldn't help but hear him say that. Oh, it's starting to warm up. Seems to not like the cold very much. Maybe Russ Armstrong could get him some good windows from the Chicago window guys. Do we know anybody who makes parkas? Do we know any like winter wear corporations or people who sell space heaters? What can we do to Woo King Tuck?
I don't think that we should lean into the winter stuff, honestly.
There's nothing we can do about it.
I think we should probably stay away from that as a talking point to try and woo Kyle Tucker.
Well, it's clearly an issue for him.
King Tuck.
So it's clearly an issue for him, so I'm just trying to speak to his concerns.
It might be, but
I guess there's nothing we can do about it.
If we overload him with, things are so bad here, you got to get new windows, you have to get a whole bunch of coats.
Uh-huh.
Coat drive that the Bears have, they got coats, yeah. So they can give you some coats.
Well, maybe like over the summer, we can make sure he gets invited on the Chicago architectural tour. You know,
that's
like,
easily like done. Well, I'll call Jeffrey Bear.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, get him a you know, one-on-one tours with Jeffrey Bear. Would Jeffrey do one of those?
Yeah, he's a huge Cub fan.
So there we go.
He would 100% do that for King Tuck.
Little neighborhood tour for King Tuck. Now we're getting somewhere.
Although I think that then you do the architecture tour, and then what you do is then you drop him off. After you come back, you drop them off to the party. that goes on in the lake. Put him in the playpen. Oh. So, Tuck, this is King Tuck. This is what Chicago is like yeah. in the summertime. There you go.
Whatever your predilections are, you're bound to find him.
Maybe
in the,
you
in the
just
playpen.
Want to look at the skyline from the lake.
Maybe.
You and your wife want to hang out on the boat.
Could be.
Guys, you got to take him on a food tour, though.
You think so?
Yes.
Alex?
Absolutely. For outsiders. There's nothing like the
what kind
food
of
scene
food
in Chicago. Whatever he likes. We got to ask him.
What do you like, Alex? Where would you go if you were Kyle Tucker?
Where would you take him?
I'd probably take him over to Duck Duck Goat, Stephanie Eisert's restaurant over there in the West Loop.
Sure. Okay.
Solid solid Asian fusion spot.
Where are you from again? Are you from Iowa? Is that right?
I came here from Iowa.
You came here from Iowa. And that's right. Because I used to get made fun of as a tourist from Ames, Iowa.
Yeah.
But
did
I
you
think
come
that
here in one
you.
Of the Cubs buses? Or?
Yes. Actually, we did take a bus trip one time.
That's
here. It
what
was
I'm
great.
Saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They dropped you off and you just stayed.
Take about a food tour. That'd be real good. I mean, yeah. Oh,
why are you making fun of Alex Kuhn by doing an Emma impersonation?
Oh, that's a good question.
A compliment in my book. Whatever you do with Kyle Tucker,
you remind me a lot of Chris Emma in a good way.
Don't take him on the Kennedy. He's not going to want to stick around. Yeah. Wherever you go, take some alternate routes.
Yeah.
Well, that's another part. Like, where are you going to live? You're going to live right where Theo was living.
Right next to the ballpark, essentially.
You're going to be able to walk to work if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'd be fine. Look, Operation Woo King Tuck is really just taking hold, and it's just kind of getting formed, and we're trying to figure it out. And it comes with hand signals, which is just exciting as hell.
You got to stay away from the weather thing, man.
Yeah.
Got to.
Lean into the good stuff.
Lean into the good weather, what this place is like in the spring and summertime. Shy is a thing.
Dude, I will say, I feel like the Cubs have gotten lucky in that regard. The weather here hasn't been that bad early on here.
Oh, totally. And we're in a sweet spot. I mean, it was a little windy, but last night I was sitting on the balcony late at night listening to the nephew call Marlins Dodgers on the MLB at Bat app. And I feel like, oh man, here we are. We've arrived outside balcony ball game weather with a beverage of choice in your hand. Let's go, Chicago. Felt good.
Alex, what's your beverage of choice?
An old fashioned.
Ooh, there we go. All right.
Let's go.
Okay.
Solid.
That's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Solid stuff. Oh, by the way.
Yo.
Mully and Haw, they're going to be back in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio on Friday, May 16th. And we're going to give away a pass to go see them.
That's cool. That's Cubs Sox weekend. And in fact, we're going to do it right now. Be the fifth caller to the Score contest line at 312-540-0670. And you could be part of that studio audience as they get you set for the start of the Crosstown Series with special guests, plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark.
That's great.
That's cool. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, that's Friday, May 16th.
You're going
to
have a wonderful time at that. So we got you all hooked up, and you'll be good to go. We need to take a break. When we come back, there's a new White Sox. And he is ready for that remote that Mully and Haw is going to do.
Yeah, he is.
We'll explain next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on The Score.
And I don't want to bring up a topic that's going to make Mr. David upset, but his guy, Colson Montgomery.
Mr. David, there's news about Colson Montgomery,
and it's not good.
No.
It's not good news.
It's weird.
Colson Montgomery is being sent down to below a Arizona instructional.
Yeah. that sounds even worse than it is, I think.
He's being sent to Arizona to swing school.
Yeah, they're sending him to work on some
they're
stuff.
They're playing baseball right now, though.
In the minor leagues.
If you're sent to Arizona in January or February to swing school, it's not great, but that's fine. For them to send you to swing school in April... not great.
Well, you know, sometimes they send you to Arizona to, like, work if, like, you need to rehab and things like that. He's rehabbing, you know, his entire swing, Lawrence. That's all.
Yeah. Not yeah. good at baseball.
Oh, man.
If you got to go all the way back there You're starting from scratch.
Well, let me ask you this. If you don't believe that you have better teaching than, you know, or a guy needs like firm on isolation, it's a fascinating topic, actually, because Matt Shaw's being sent back to a level that didn't fix him to try and get him fixed. And so I don't know.
With instruction from the major league manager and hitting coach and GM and president of baseball operations.
I understand, but if there's somebody at AAA who might have been able to fix him, might they have not already decided to help him get fixed last year?
Didn't think he needed fixing, but I don't want to have that argument again with you on that.
I understand. But I'm trying to see if there's any good reason to send a guy to Arizona.
Yes, the good reason to send him is that you've decided that you don't want him. You don't want him to try to impact your season and to try and fix stuff while he's trying to be a major league player. So take him out of the environment of his at bats maybe mattering to whatever affiliate that you're at.
Yeah.
Send him down there. I kind of like this by the White Sox of them identifying and saying, ooh, this is worse than we thought. Let's go try and fix it. That, to me, this seems like a Hail Mary by them and saying, we've tried everything else. Let's send him back to Q school and figure out what the hell is going on.
I'm really curious about the personal side of it in terms of...
I'm sure it hurts.
Well, what I mean is this, though, from their perspective, and did he share with them, and I wonder, was he showing signs of being overwhelmed by the multiple levels like you're talking about, where you're trying to impress an organization and get to the big leagues when there's an opportunity to do so, but, oh, by the way, you got to keep just working on the stuff you need to work on. Was he overwhelmed by that? Or do they think he needs sometimes a slap in the face where it's like, look, let's just slow everything down. Let's admit that there's some issues. Let's take you away so you know how serious we are.
Let's take you away from it. Let's not have you work on game stuff. Let's just go hit, man. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just get in the cage and let's figure out where your comfort is. And maybe because of a bunch of injuries that he's had, maybe his swing has to change. Just from a physiological standpoint, there's something that's not connecting. And you say, let's get him in the lab. Let's not have any of our coaches at the minor league level being worried about that per se. We'll get the whole organization on it in Camelback Ranch and let him work through some stuff.
I think you know, Lawrence, that Colson Montgomery is going to have to go through some other people to get any run at third base for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, Miguel Vargas is playing there. As you know, Jacob Amaya can play there, although he should be DFA'd and should have never been on this team. And then there's Gage Workman, Marshall's guy, Gage Tater, the former Tiger,
The
Rule 5 pick of the Cubs, who despite 1,700 minor league at-bats, never above AA, with a 37% K rate, was given a job with the Cubs with the idea that he could have a good glove at third base. And then that failed miserably, and he was designated for assignment and picked up by the Chicago White Sox.
Traded, right? Wasn't that like a low-level trade that they made?
DFA first and then traded. So they do the DFA, and you got 10 days, and then they traded him.
I think the White Sox, this is a smart move by the White Sox.
Like a might from the might-as-well perspective?
Yeah, there's no reason not to.
Well, look. Rule 5 guys, Shane Smith right now, you know the Brewers are regretting having exposed him. So, yeah, no, you can definitely find some diamonds, I guess, for the White Sox. Take a look at Gage Workman.
That's what their whole season should be, trying to find people who are good at baseball.
I got a couple. Edgar Caro's good at baseball. I like that guy. There's one.
You said a couple.
Oh, yeah. Shane Smith.
Okay.
Shane Smith is, I believe, pretty darn good at baseball.
Okay. You had mentioned a couple, so I wanted to make sure that you paid that off.
I got those two right now. Maybe Chase Meidroth.
Maybe.
Got a chance.
Sure. Got a chance. Gone.
Adios. Not Luis Robert. I wouldn't put him up there just yet. Give him some time.
Give him to another team.
They could have.
Missed your opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think they can. Woof. So Gage Workman is not happy about being traded by the Cubs. He's very, very angry, and he's feisty, and he's looking for revenge.
I tell you what, feisty.
Yeah. In his column with Paul Sullivan, Paul Sullivan quoted...
Gage Workman has a column?
He and Sully do a great job together.
You ought to have a backup plan.
It's true.
Not the right time to be getting into the column writing business. Is that what you're saying? Grateful for my time with the Cubs and good people over there, but now I'm with the White Sox and I'm excited to be here, and now I want to beat the Cubs.
Oh, yeah! White Sox!
This is how it happens.
This is how it happens.
And apparently a caller gave our guy Mr. David the business when discussing said Gage Workman.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Jack is on the Odyssey app with a thought on Gage Workman. Morning, Jack.
I think when a man gets drafted from a team, he always wants to beat that team. It's like he hurt your guys' feelings. I feel bad for you guys.
It's not me. Don't throw me in that. I feel bad for you.
I think you have to get your dream job at Marquee. You should leave the score.
No, I'm not leaving the score. No, don't start that rumor. No, I'm not leaving. Sorry, Jack. I'm here for a while.
If you had the chance, you'd be gone in a minute.
to go work at the Cub station?
Yeah, I know. Admit it. You might as well admit it. That's good. But I enjoy your show. I know you guys, most of you are all Cub fans. And I'm too bad. I got Jerry Reinsdorf. I'm a White Sox fan. Been a White Sox fan since 59.
Oh, that's great loyalty, Jack. And enjoy Gage Workman. He'll probably be in the lineup tonight. And I hope that he plays well for the Sox.
Yeah.
He's a prospect. He had a great spring training. I don't know
that
if you heard
it. That was a great call, Jack.
But he had a great spring training. Thank you, Jack. Yeah, I'm not going to Marquee.
That's a wrap. Oh, Ruthie's celebrating the call.
The irony, of course, being that David works at the station that Jerry Reinsdorf owns.
That's the problem.
With Ruthie.
When you try to be fair and balanced, you know? Then the Sox fans will think you're a Cub fan. Maybe a Cub fan will think you're a Sox fan. Jack. Yeah, that's
Gage Workman, by the way, is not in the lineup tonight.
You know. Did you see the Cubs lineup? Dansby Swanson moved down to 8.
It's a good idea. He's having a rough time. We will get you to Cubs pregame momentarily. For Alex Kuhn, for my guy Tanny, for my partner Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence. I'm saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show our show. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow. Before Cubs baseball. Cubs baseball on the score is next.
But I gotta let you go, Maddie. I'm sorry. I got stuff to do here.
You're good. Thank you, Shane. Thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.